Now Aho tipped it off the boards to himself. He's got room. Aho sends it across. Jarvis, he scores! Jarvelis one more time!
On the right side with Trocheck and Terabyne. Carolina's best forecheck of the afternoon.
Now Freddie Anderson with good awareness gets the puck forward. It's Svechnikov leaving it back for Aho. Aho takes a peek as a lane out in front, and they'll score! Goes just wide as Jacob Slavin got all of that one. Now he'll keep it into the blue line. His wrist shot gets through. Peterson with a chance. Kokaniemi, backhand, he scores!
How big was the save Peterson made on the Aho Svechnikov Jarvis line? That would have been 5-3 right before the goal.
Now it's the Hurricanes. Natchez jumping in and he'll score! Oh, what a move! Marty Natchez! You can put that in a blockbuster film, and late in the period, Carolina goes up 5-4.
10 seconds remaining here at Staples Center. Arvidsson gets the puck into Kempe. His pass back to Arvidsson, detected by Aho. 4 seconds left. Aho's just going to flip this high into the air to center ice, and the Carolina Hurricanes have improved to 8-1 on the road, 14-2 overall. Freddie Anderson with his 11th win on the season, moving him to first place in that category. And the Canes are perfect on the West Coast.
This is the Canes Corner Podcast with host Adam Gold, presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. The Canes Corner Podcast is part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now, here's your host, Adam Gold.
Welcome to the Canes Corner Podcast. I am Adam Gold. The Hurricanes have now won a game this year, I believe, in every possible way. I don't know what this was today. It was kind of messy. It was a bad first period. It was a better second period, but I wouldn't categorize it as a good second period. It was better. And then the third was just rope-a-dope. It was very Muhammad Ali-ish from the mid-70s. Just rope-a-dope, 20 shots to 2 in favor of LA in the third period. And of all the periods to have no goals, the third. These two teams, just for a little bit of context here, these two teams have allowed more than 3 goals in a game once each, 5-4 after 2. Of course, because sports. We're brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. There's no place like it. Sammy Anna and his crew do an amazing job. Go online for a free no obligation estimate, whatever you need, roofing, siding, entry doors, storm doors, gutter helmets, they've got it all. AluminumCompany.com. A little bit different today. We're going to just jump right into the goals. There's not a lot of big picture stuff that I'm going to handle because we're going to talk to Scott Burnside, who not only does work for DailyFaceoff.com, but is a special contributor to Hurricanes.com. We'll talk to Scott about the game and about the first 16 games of this season. And like I always say, you can't go 82-0 without first going 14-2-0. I know you can. Shh. It's just the joke. Sebastian Aho is great today. In many games, figuring out who the three stars are, like the game Thursday night, figuring out who the three stars are was going to be difficult. And also on Tuesday, difficult. Not difficult today. There weren't a lot of players who played great today. But I think I identified three. I don't think anybody was on the ice better than Sebastian Aho today. Frederick Anderson, while I think there were some times he fought the puck a little bit, he had to make 39 saves today. 39 saves? Yeah, 43 shots on goal, 39 saves. And I thought Jacob Slavin made a series of great defensive plays. Could have also chosen Brett Pesce as one of the three stars. Jordan Staal better late than they were early. Nobody was really good early. Derek Stepan jumped back in the lineup, had a goal and an assist, and I thought played a strong first period. There weren't, again, not a lot of players played really well in the first period. I thought Stepan did. I thought the fourth line was pretty good. But man, LA's fourth line was just absolutely dynamite. But a good win for the Hurricanes because it's a win. Wasn't well played. They had some defensive zone issues, but at least it was a win. And 14-2-0 is better than 13-3-0, as far as I can tell. All right, what a special treat. Scott Burnside, Hurricanes.com, special contributor, DailyFaceoff.com, podcaster, writer, broadcaster extraordinaire, and one of the nicest people I know. I appreciate your time today. A little afternoon hockey on the West Coast, always good for everybody to get us. I'm going on a date tonight.
Well, you buried the lead here, Adam. That's the top of the story. Never mind the Hurricanes' wild and woolly 5-4 win. I think that you buried the lead. So tell us more.
Everybody who listens to this podcast, we let them in on our lives. And I just told everybody I'm going on a date. So if when they listen to this in the morning, my wife and I don't get a chance to go on too many dates. Let's get to this game, though. This was a weird game. Like, there was high energy. There was a lot of transition play from both sides. I don't think Carolina was all that great. They were sloppy. And they withstood 20-2 shot edge for L.A. in the third period. What did you make of today?
Yeah, you know what is interesting? I went back and looked because I knew you were going to be calling. And, heading into this game, the Canes were fourth in the NHL in shots allowed per game. And normally, when you look at when you watch the Canes play, normally they're on the other side of a game with a 43-20 shot differential, which was the case today with the Hurricanes in their 5-4 win. But they were on the opposite end of it. Normally, it's the other way around, but the Canes, it's the way they play the game, the way that Rod Brind'Amour's system, the four lines and rolling them. Normally, they're a team that really pushes the pace and often ends up on the other side of those kinds of shot differential. But as you point out, Kings very fast. It's been kind of fun to watch the Kings, especially with Drew Doughty out, especially. Sean Walker has been out, so you sort of wondered if they might, sort of slide back into the standings in the Pacific Division, But they've hung right in there, and they have a lot of good young players. And today, again, sort of taking a page out of the Carolina Hurricanes playbook, that fourth line, especially with Lemieux going the way he was going today, I thought they were quite impressive and really kept the Hurricanes on their heels for large parts of the game, two fast transition teams. And so a little bit of, a little bit looking in the mirror maybe for the Carolina Hurricanes. And boy, Freddie Anderson, you wouldn't think of it of a guy who's used to, has put up such gaudy numbers through the first month and a half of this season. In spite of the fact he gave up four goals, Freddie Anderson was just outstanding again, especially in the third period. So.
Yeah, he was great. I do three stars every game. I gave him my second star. I might have decided early on that Sebastian Aho was going to be the first star because I think he was Carolina's best skater. But yeah. Anderson has been absolutely dynamite. Real quick, because you did, I think, a great breakdown of the Kings, not to mention they don't have Quentin Byfield. He got hurt, I think, in the preseason. Yeah. Haven't had him all year. But the we didn't get a chance. I didn't watch a single game of the Pacific Division last year until the playoffs. And the Kings obviously weren't in the playoffs. So I didn't see any of those teams play. And I've been incredibly impressed by Anaheim and the Kings in the last two games. I hope they both make the playoffs because I just love the way they play. Brendan Lemieux was dynamite tonight. I thought that fourth line really was heavy. But I think they're really good. If Doughty can come back and be effective. We didn't even see the best of Anze Kopitar today. He was sort of, I don't know if he was neutralized by, I'm trying to remember if the Aho line played against him or not. I think they did. But we didn't see a great Anze Kopitar night. But man, I like the Kings.
Yeah, no, I it's interesting to think of, that whole California group, and of course the Hurricanes will see San Jose in their next game. As we're sitting here chatting, they're 8-7-1. And again, I think there were a lot of questions about all three of those California teams. Missed the playoffs the last 2 years, all three of them. So really a period of, you know, and the weather, certainly a period of decline, but I think certainly a period of transition for all three of those California-based teams. And, you know, I think your point is excellent. Anaheim has been so good and so impressive and so much to like about the way they play and what Dallas Eakins has done there. But it's interesting to see whether Los Angeles and San Jose can, you know, can keep pace, whether they can continue to put pressure on. You know, Vegas has gone through a lot of injury issues. Edmonton and Calgary, who sit 1 and 2 in the Pacific Division, as you and I are talking, heading into action later this evening. It'll be interesting to see whether, I think, especially LA and San Jose, I think Anaheim is the real deal, but, you know, can the Kings and the Sharks continue to play meaningful games? Can they keep themselves in the playoff hunt? In the Pacific Division, that is much stronger than I thought they were going to be at the start of the season.
Let me ask you about Seth Jarvis. Today was the ninth game, and it's been a joke for me the last couple of days. What will the Hurricanes do after he plays 9 games? Well, we know what they're going to do. He's going to play a 10th game. What has your impression been of Seth Jarvis as we have now seen him play on a top line with Aho and Svechnikov?
Yeah, I really like how he's responded to that kind of opportunity. And, you know, I don't profess to know what Don Waddell is going to do. I don't know, you know, his conversations with Rod Brind'Amour and the staff. But I wonder if that opportunity to play on the top line and see how he responds, you know, is that the sort of the final, you know, piece that goes into that decision? I'm with you. I thought that Seth Jarvis has earned a place on this team. I wasn't surprised that they kept him. I also wasn't surprised. You know, it took a little bit of time. He gets into the lineup. But whatever opportunities have been afforded him, he's responded in such a positive fashion. And you can tell already that he's so well-liked in that dressing room and has a lot of poise. He's very humble. You know, today he plays 15 minutes. Minute 17 on the power play, that's a goal. You know what, there's just so much to like about him. And I think it's, you know, I like it when teams, I think we sometimes make too much of, oh, you know, burning the first year of the entry-level deal and, you know, all those kinds of things. Listen, I think if a player earns his spot, especially on a really good team like this Carolina team is, I think it's healthy. And I think it's healthy for the rest of the lineup to see a young player who gets an opportunity, he responds, he's given more, you know, he's not sent back because of some, well, we don't, you know, we're looking 2 or 3 years down the road already. This is a team that lives in the moment because they're a really good team and they should be living in the moment. So, nothing, I guess, formalized yet, but I think Seth Jarvis has been one of the great stories of what has been a pretty unbelievable first month and a bit of this NHL season, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how he responds as the season goes along. That's, you know, again, that's it's a short, you know, it's a small piece of a big puzzle when you're talking 82 games. You know, we're 15 games into it or 16 games into it, whatever it is. It's a long season for a young player, but I like, of course, what we've seen from Jarvis thus far.
Yeah, I think the thing that I've liked most about him is that he's not a liability in the neutral zone or in his own end. He took the puck from Ryan Getzlaf behind the Hurricanes' goal and the win over Anaheim, just took the puck. I mean, he's got to be giving up 50 pounds and 6 inches to Getzlaf. He makes a lot of good plays. He's a smart player. On the Aho goal that was really meant to be a pass, I think, to Jarvis, just the camera angle from behind, Jarvis was going, just doing the right thing, going to the back post, making himself available, getting in the goaltender's eye, and then the puck goes off of, was it Bjornfoot's skate, I think, yeah, or his stick, and
yeah,
goes through.
Yeah.
So he just does the right thing all the time, and it's been fun to watch. You mentioned Freddie Anderson. Now, Freddie's had the last 5 years in Toronto, that's a fishbowl I wouldn't wish on anybody in the sport of hockey. It's sort of like being a shortstop in playing in the Bronx in New York. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But Freddie here has been just so incredibly. I mean, solid. I don't want solid to be a negative. He's had plenty of spectacular. But this is now, 10 wins on the season? It's just been awesome.
Well, and I think you're right. I mean, this, you know, solid, I think of the save, I think it was off Lemieux in the third period. Yeah. But bit of a breakdown in front, and the Kings come with such speed. But he does, there's a calmness about how he's gone about his business. I think the way Carolina plays the game, hey, this is a team, you know, they are going to give up grade A chances. That's just, you know, that's part and parcel of the way this team plays. And I know that Rod Brindamore preaches, a high level of defensive responsibility, and you see when the defense are activated, as they so often are, and the forwards have to be responsible in getting back, you are going to give up chances. And especially on the road, and especially this is the third game of a six-game road trip, sometimes playing on the road, you're going to give up stuff that maybe you wouldn't otherwise, you know, say might not happen at PNC Arena. But I think your point is an excellent one. And I love how there's a calmness about Frederik Anderson. There is, even when things are starting to unravel a little bit, he always seems to be in control. And there's that, you know, the defense especially, but the entire team, I think, feeds off of that. You know, I was talking to Ian Cole early on in this and about that relationship with a goaltender like Frederik Anderson. And there is so, it permeates the entire team when your goaltender is calm, even in the face of, you know, a little bit of on-ice chaos. And I think we've seen that. We saw that certainly today in this win. But I think we've seen it throughout the season in virtually every start that Frederik Anderson has had.
Yeah, actually, I shorted him a win. He's got 11 wins. Antti Raanta has 2, and Alex Lyon, who was absolutely great in the win over St. Louis. I was sort of surprised that Rod, didn't run Anderson out there back-to-back nights just because, you know, it's a big game. You're facing a West Coast trip. But Rod has an intuition about him. I know he always likes to pretend that other people are making these decisions, but we know who is. But Rod has an intuition about him, sort of like putting Derek Stepan back in the lineup tonight on the right side. Obviously, he's the reigning Jack Adams winner. And I've known Rod for a long time, and I knew he was going to be a good coach just because I know the kind of person he is. Is he a better coach than people give him credit for, even though he just won the Jack Adams?
Yeah, so, you know, it's a good question because I think there is, well, I know there is widespread admiration for what Rod Brindamore has done in his short tenure as the head coach in Carolina. So I don't think there's ever a moment where people around the NHL don't appreciate what he's done. So I don't think that's an issue. But that said, and even with the Jack Adams, what he has done, it continues to be so impressive. And, you know, I think this is a really important season for the Carolina Hurricanes. And I think of, you know, last couple of playoff losses to Tampa and to Boston. I think this is a season where the regular season has to be about taking care of business, but it also has to be about building to taking those next steps in the playoffs. And yes, an important playoff win against Nashville, a very good and surprisingly difficult Nashville team last spring, or in the first round, I guess technically in the summer. But and then a disappointing series against Tampa as they were, you know, as the Bolts are going on their way to a second straight Stanley Cup win. So I think that's what this is about for Rod Brindamore and preparing this team, you know, not just to pile up wins or to pile up points or wherever they may end up in the Metropolitan Division, but to build towards what we see in the playoffs next spring. And I think that's where, you know, like I know he doesn't care about the accolades. I know he doesn't care about the Jack Adams, really, that this is really about the pursuit of the big prize. And I think that's what continues to make him such an impressive coaching figure in the NHL. And You can, whether it's top five or top three or top two, he is one of the top coaching minds in the NHL right now. And that's, I want to see what happens now as the rest of the season unfolds.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Rod is only focused on what's going to happen. I mean, he's focused, obviously, game in and game out. Every game is a singular entity, but it is all about what happens, in May and then into June. Scott Burnside, before I let you go, and I appreciate your time, because I do want to big picture this from somebody who isn't hyper-local, even though you are a contributor to Hurricanes.com. Florida, I keep hearing this on NHL radio every time I listen. Florida or Carolina? Florida or Carolina? I don't know if those are they're not the only two teams, because Edmonton, the way they have played, is in that mix, and Colorado is going to be in that mix. I like St. Louis as well. When they get healthier, same with Colorado. I still like Washington a lot. And I think the Islanders will eventually figure it out now that they can play home games. Who are the teams that you are looking at right now? And these are the teams that are going to decide this.
Yeah, no, and I think you've hit all the high notes, and Florida deserves to be in that discussion because of the way they're built, and in spite of the rather dramatic change in coaching with Joel Quenneville being forced to resign, and as he should have been in the wake of the Chicago sexual assault scandal. And Andrew Burnett's I think this is sort of trial by fire for him, because the team is so good. And I think they've responded nicely. I know, a little bump in the road of last week or so, but they are the real deal. Yep. I love how they're built. They play. They played a little bit like Carolina, right? Big, heavy, but very skilled. They will come at you in waves. Tampa is still, they lost a game against New Jersey that they led in 3-1. But Tampa is definitely going to be there. So I think those three teams, and really in the Metropolitan Division, I've been so impressed with Washington. No Nicholas Backstrom. A bit of a transition on the back end there. Some kids really given an opportunity by Peter Laviolette. Goaltending also in a bit of a transition there. But that team scores like crazy. Alex Ovechkin, put him in your early Hart Trophy discussion for sure. And that team, man, they score a ton. They actually, are a bit surprising how little they've given up. As you and I are chatting here, they're a plus 19 goal differential. Pretty impressive stuff from a Caps team that has had a couple of very disappointing playoff performances. You go back to, their cup win in 18, and there's a lot riding on this season for the Caps as well. So I would put them, certainly those four teams for me, Carolina, Florida, Tampa, Washington, and the East right now, are teams that you have to watch. And I'm with you. I think that Colorado's going to figure it out. How about Winnipeg, though? They're a team for me in the West that I think Kevin Cheveldayoff's done a great job in sort of retooling that back end on the fly, very deep up front. So I think the Winnipeg Jets are a team that I'm going to pay a lot of attention to. And actually, how about the Minnesota Wild, a team that I think people didn't know what to make of them with Zach Parise and Ryan Suter departing, but man, they haven't missed a beat, and a fun team to watch there in Minnesota. So
lots of fun. Real quick about Minnesota, Winnipeg. I'd love to see Winnipeg get to the finals. A Carolina Winnipeg Stanley Cup Finals. We'd have like Brendan Moore versus Paul Maurice, who was the coach when the Canes made it to the finals in 2002. And I've always liked Paul. He's got the driest sense of humor I've ever heard.
I'm with you. I've known Paul a long time. Share some Windsor, Ontario roots, and few people speak the game or talk the game as well as Paul Maurice. So I would be all right with a Winnipeg Carolina Stanley Cup final. A little bit hard to get to Winnipeg. Travel, there's not a lot of direct flights from Raleigh to Winnipeg, but anyway, it would be a nice problem to have, I think, for both teams. It would be a ton of fun, I'm sure.
Has the internet service in Winnipeg? I have to check.
Oh my god! Yeah, it's all good there. But the direct flights. I covered a playoff series there a few years ago. Winnipeg, Nashville. Oh my god! What a great series it was. Seven games. And two great cities. So yeah, no way. If we get to Winnipeg, I might know a place. So you let me know.
All right, I'm gonna take you up on it, Scott Burnside. I appreciate your time. Follow him on Twitter at OvertimeScottB, Hurricanes.com contributor, DailyFaceoff.com podcaster, broadcaster, writer, everything. Scott, thank you so much. We'll do it again soon. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, anytime.
I don't know. Did I seem jumpy? That I seem overly excited to talk to Scott Burnside. I love talking to Scott Burnside. You're not going to find a nicer human being anywhere on this planet. Certainly not me. All right, let's go through a couple of things. We don't have a scoreboard. We don't have any other games at the time of this recording. We have nothing else to look at about what happened today, except that the Hurricanes are now 14-2-0. And that's absolutely tremendous. So let's just go through the goals real quick because there's a little bit to say about each of them. And then we'll kind of broad brush what happened on the four LA King goals. First goal, Carolina gets it. Tony DeAngelo gets it up the wall. Sebastian Aho chips it past one LA King, then handles it around another, and then finds Seth Jarvis for 1-0.
Stepan back in the lineup playing wing, made a heck of an exit from his own end, leading to the chance for Martinuk.
Now Aho tips it off the boards to himself. He's got room. Aho sends it across. Jarvis, he scores! Jarvis one more time!
Do I get a royalty for Jarvis? I mean, if they're going to use it incessantly on the broadcast, do I get a royalty? I'm just kidding, of course. I'm glad they're using it. That's what it was for. It was for everybody to be using it. We got to put that on t-shirts and coffee mugs. I think I want a scarf, maybe a toque. I just think Jarvis is too good. And by the way, we should give Alec credit for infredible about Freddie Anderson, who has been just absolutely tremendous. Canes made it 2-0. Actually, they didn't make it 2-0. We'll talk about the goals, LA's goals in a second. Derek Stepan was in the right place at the right time. Jesperi Kotkaniemi, who I thought played fairly well in the middle. Again, there weren't a ton of guys who played great for Carolina, but I thought Kotkaniemi played pretty well in the middle again, third game in a row for him. So he wins a battle on the half wall on the left side. It goes back to Brady Shea. Shea takes a shot from the point that caroms off Martinuk's stick and Stepan's skate right at the top of the crease. So that puck goes in. It's 2-1. Now, the Kings would make it 2-2, and here's the two goals. And Carolina, essentially, I'm not really that bent out of shape, really, by either of the battles that were lost, because, I mean, you're not going to win every battle you fight, essentially, on the ice. Stepan was battling with Brendan Lemieux at the front of the net on the first goal, and the shot was... went through on a screen. And then Brady Shea lost the battle with Adrian Kempe in front. And ultimately, it's that puck. Well, the battle was he just couldn't tie up Kempe's stick, and Kempe tipped it past Anderson on a point shot from Alex Edler, and that made it 2-2. Then in the second period, Carolina, again, takes the lead. Again, it's Sebastian Aho making a play. Takes a drop pass from Svechnikov. Waits, looks for Jarvis on the back door, and gets a break.
Now Freddie Anderson with good awareness gets the puck forward. It's Svechnikov, leaving it back for Aho. Aho takes a peek, has a lane up front, and they'll score!
Yeah, that puck went off of Tobias Bjornfoot's skate. And in or somewhere on his body, might have been a stick. I don't know. It was something like that. But that he was trying to get it to Jarvis on the back post, who had a step on the play, but it goes off the defenseman and past Cal Peterson. That made it 3-2. LA tied it up at 3, and then Kotkaniemi in the right place at the right time. Good puck retrieval by Carolina comes back all the way back out to Slavin at the like the in between the rings up near the point. He puts the shot on goal. Puck's kind of loitering around the goal mouth, and Kotkaniemi comes out of the high slot, scoops it up, backhands it upstairs for 4-3. Then, after the Kings tie it at 4, my dog absolutely loves Martin Hages. Let me translate Weimaraner to you. Master, please tell them about Martin Natchez's goal. It was one of those Martin Natchez goals. He gets the puck, comes in on the left side, is so fast, skates around the defenseman, slices in front of the net, and goes just wide enough to slip it between Peterson and the far post. It was just one of those goals. Now, so that made it 5-4, but here are the two mistakes that Carolina made. On the shorthanded goal by Adrian Kempe, Carolina's got a 3-2 lead. They're on the power play. Power play wasn't great tonight. Svechnikov, you could make the argument that as he was trying to make the pass, he realized that it wasn't a pass he should make, so he didn't put anything on it, but it was just a marshmallow that went right to Adrian Kempe, who skates in. Svech tried to get back. He probably was going to pick. He might have picked up a penalty if it didn't go. Andre had a rough day. I think he got an assist, but Andre had a rough day. So that's 3-3. And then on the goal that made it 4-4, another big, heavy play by Brendan Lemieux, who sweeps the puck in. But Vincent Trocheck's there. Jacob Slavin is actually there too, but it looked to me more Trocheck's battle to fight as opposed to Slavin at that particular time. And nobody had Brendan Lemieux, and I know Derek Stepan was on the ice too, and Stepan didn't go out hard enough on the initial shot. 5-4 after two, and then it was all over, but watching Freddie Anderson make 20 third period saves. So Anderson made 20 third period saves. Carolina had 20 shots for the game. And we closed the book on that one. So the Hurricanes will be, I'm sure they'll practice tomorrow, they will head on up to San Jose for a game Monday where maybe they'll see former Hurricane James Reimer, who has been absolutely awesome for the Sharks in the early going this season. Hurricanes are 14-2-0, and you know what I always say? You can't go 82-0 without going 14-2-0. Jarvis with a goal, his fourth. Now goals in five straight games for Seth Jarvis. You figure that out. He's got four goals, but goals in five straight. Again, more jokes. Aho, spectacular. Goal and an assist. Stepan, very good. Back in the lineup after not playing for a couple games. A goal and an assist. Martin Natchez with a goal. Jesperi Kotkaniemi with a goal. By the way, Kotkaniemi, first goal in nine games. Big time. He has so Svechnikov has now gone nine without a goal. Jordan Staal, nine games without a goal. He's got one assist. Staal does in that nine-game stretch. At least Svechnikov had an assist today. Svech has eight assists in that stretch. And I do appreciate that he shot the puck on that two-on-one because he's been more apt to pass than shoot on those. And he beat Peterson, but it hit the post, and he almost got the rebound and put that in too. But I'm pretty confident that we'll see a better Andrei Svechnikov Monday night in San Jose. It's the Canes Corner Podcast. We're brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. Online, aluminumcompany.com. So if it's for the exterior of your home, windows, I mean, I realize those are also inside, but that's an exterior item. Roofing, siding, you know where to go. AluminumCompany.com. Follow the Canes Corner Podcast wherever you get your podcast. You can give us a rating and a review, but really what we want is for you to enjoy it, give us some feedback, and appreciate your time. As always, I am Adam Gold. This is the Canes Corner Podcast. Talk to you Monday night.
This has been the Canes Corner Podcast with Adam Gold, presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. You can listen to this podcast at WRALSportsBand.com or wherever you get your podcasts.